today as we come to the table.
John the Baptist confronted Herod. He said, Herod, you're in sin. You need to repent. And he was committing adultery, and he called him on it. Of course, he ended up getting his head cut off because of it. And oftentimes, there are consequences for standing up boldly and speaking the truth. But God is calling us to be a generation that does that. America needs the church more than ever today, guys. America doesn't need the church sleeping. America doesn't need the church afraid and cowering back. America needs a church that'll stand up and say, we love you, but this is wrong. And whatever you do to us, you do it. But Jesus died for this, and we're destroying ourselves, we're destroying our nation, and it's not just about America, we're talking about souls and eternity.
There are absolutely repercussions for standing up for our faith and standing up for the salvation of others. God unfortunately promised this in the scriptures. He said that we will have trials and that it won't be easy. Life isn't easy. That's the point. We need Christ to be with us to walk through life peacefully. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will encourage you as you're facing trials and push back for your faith. Stay strong, stand with God, and He will not leave you. When you stand up in the face of adversity and stand strong in your beliefs, God will bless your efforts and endurance in ways you can't even imagine. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 3, as he begins his message, Sold to the Enemy.
Judges chapter 3, and let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today, and we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness once again to bring us to your word, to open up your word to us, to teach us, God, and to feed us. And Lord, I pray that you would now pour out your spirit on us. I pray that you would anoint me, Lord, to say what you want me to say today, and I pray you would open up our ears to hear your word as you minister to your flock and your people by your spirit. And Lord, speak to us. Lord, our ears are open. We want to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we thank you, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Judges chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. I've entitled today, Sold to the Enemy, because that is exactly what we're going to see today as we get into the passage. The nation had turned against God, and the nation had sinned against God. And because of that, God sold the nation to Satan, so to speak. He handed them over. And that is a sobering thought, to think that God would actually sell a people or a nation over to their enemies, Satan being the one controlling that. But God says he will do that very thing. And we're going to see today that God does that, and he does it until the nation repents and cries out for God to restore them. Now, why would God do that? Why would God turn Israel or America or any other nation over to Satan? Why would God do that? I'm not saying we've been completely turned over to Satan, but I do believe our nation has the hand of God removed and Satan is much more active. In areas we used to be protected, we're no longer protected. And the nation of Israel, God had removed his hand. He said, this is what you want. I'm going to give you what you want. I'm going to give you the leadership you want. I'm going to give you the results you want. And I'm going to wait until you suffer and are persecuted enough to cry out to me. And then I'm going to send revival. And again, the reason God does it is because he loves us, not because he hates us. He loves us, and he knows that if he allows the pressure to come in, it will drive us to repentance and bring us back to the Lord. Now, we see it all through the Old Testament and the Bible in how God deals with the nation of Israel. But where do we see a specific passage that deals with this, especially in the New Testament? Paul, speaking of a believer who had chosen to turn away from God, a believer or unbeliever, and was refusing to repent. He said this in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Notice what he said. He said, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected. Concerning the faith, they have suffered shipwreck. I believe America is suffering shipwreck right now. So this is very applicable. He says, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, note this, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Here's what Paul is saying. Here's what God is saying. When a person, a people, or a nation turns away from God and rejects his word, God says, I will turn you over to the enemy. I'm going to sell you to your enemies because I want you to learn the difference in serving me and serving Satan. Believe me, Satan is a hard taskmaster. Just talk to people that are living in addiction to drugs and alcohol, living in all these different ways they know are wrong. He's a hard taskmaster. When you come under the Lord, you find joy, you find peace, you find restoration and refreshment in life. When you come under Satan, you find oppression and depression and darkness and evil. And God said, it's time for the children of Israel to learn that. Paul said, it's time for these guys, Hymenaeus and Alexander, it's these two guys, it's time for them to understand what it's like to serve Satan. Okay, you want to live in sin so much? You want to have your own way so much? You can have it because I want you to see the difference. And I believe that God is now selling us, America, somewhat, to our enemies. That is Satan and the demonic realm, so that we might see the difference. How did God bless America before? What is happening to America now? And I don't know that America gets it yet. I'm hoping the church is about to wake up and make the association. Wait a minute. When we walked holy as a church, when we made a stand on righteousness, when we made our voice known, God blessed our nation. But now that we just let whatever happen and we don't do anything, now we're seeing the consequences. And so the leaders we elect, all these different things, it has a result on the nation. And God wants us to see the difference. And I, for one, am certainly seeing the difference in a major and dramatic way. And this is what God is going to deal with the nation of Israel today. So notice the scene. It starts here in verse 7. It says, so the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they forgot the Lord their God, and they served the Baals and the Ashers. Remember, these were these nature and sex gods we talked about that they were serving in that day, and they were doing evil in the sight of the Lord. They decided to follow their own lusts and their own desires rather than following the Lord and following his word. And notice now the result. God was gracious. God was long-suffering. But look at verse 8. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. Now, it's interesting here. Look at the result of their disobedience to God. First, they forgot the Lord and they served the other gods around them. And what did God do? He sold them to their enemies. This is a warning to any individual, and it's a warning to any nation. If we choose to reject God and his word and turn away, God will sell us to our enemies. And sometimes those enemies can be earthly, and sometimes those enemies can be demonic, if you will, although I think all of it is controlled by the demonic realm. But it's scary for me to think that if we disobey God individually or as a nation, that God can sell us to our enemies in that same way. Notice this guy's name, Cushan-Rishathaim. Interesting name. It means literally double wickedness, which means this guy wasn't just wicked. He was double wicked. Double your wickedness with double wicked Cushan-Rishathaim or whatever. Do you know that? That's an old commercial. Sorry. I don't know why my brain works that way. I apologize. Because it's not really funny. And yet he turned them over to double wickedness. And that is, notice this, because of their rebellion as a nation and God wanting them to see the difference in serving him and serving the enemy, God then turned them over to this man of double wickedness for 8 years. That's a long time to be under double wickedness. I mean, 1 year would be enough for me, but 8 years of double wickedness? And notice, this is interesting to me too. It wasn't due to the wicked leader's disobedience that God judged them, although that was bad. God is judging the nation because of their wickedness. It would have been very easy to point it at Cushan, which I'll call from this point on to make it easy. It would be very easy to point at him and say, the reason we're so messed up is Cushan's fault. He's the reason. He's the problem. Or whatever we might point at. And God is making the point, listen, Cushan will face his judgment. He will face God and he'll give account for his wickedness. But you, Israel, you're the one that allowed this. You turned away from me. You rejected my word. You put me out of your schools in 1962 and 1963 through prayer and the word of God. Which, by the way, I make an application to America. We put prayer out of the churches, some of them, but prayer out of schools. In 1962, legally, we put the word of God out of schools legally in 1963, and we have been in a downhill slide since there. As a matter of fact, if you want to do your homework, there are charts to show how we started going downhill in 62 and 63, and beyond that point, just begin to nosedive. And it's only gone down from there. Why? Because we as a nation said, God, we don't want you in this area. Now, God was gracious. He waited. We saw the consequences being happened in our schools. And what happens now when a mass shooting takes place? Oh, those kids, or those this, or those, you know, whatever. Blame it on everything you can blame it on. But God would say this, no, the reason is because you put me out. And because you put me out, I sold you to the enemy, and now he has come in. And whether it's something that's as atrocious as a mass shooting, or whether it's just the drugs and alcohol abuse or the sex abuse going on in our not just high schools but elementary schools, guys, we can't point to the school board. We can't point to anything. The church should have said, no, we want people in leadership that will put this back in position. We want the Bible in schools. We want prayer in the schools, and we want leaders in there that will do that. The church needed to rise up, and I'm a part of that. I include myself in this. We've dropped the ball. And while we've been sleeping, the enemy's been moving in a position and taking over. So I think it's easy to point to these leaders or point to the Supreme Court and say, how could they do this wicked thing this week or whatever? But the bottom line is God will hold those leaders in those positions accountable. But God is saying, you know what? It's you, nation of Israel. You turned away from me. And if you will turn back, I will restore you and I will do what needs to be done. Now, that doesn't mean we don't need to call leaders out in their wickedness. I think sometimes there's a place for that. John the Baptist confronted Herod. He said, Herod, you're in sin. You need to repent. And he was committing adultery, and he called him on it. And of course, he ended up getting his head cut off because of it. And oftentimes, there are consequences for standing up boldly and speaking the truth. But God is calling us to be a generation that does that. America needs the church more than ever today, guys. America doesn't need the church sleeping. America doesn't need the church afraid and cowering back. America needs a church that'll stand up and say, we love you, but this is wrong. And whatever you do to us, you do it. But Jesus died for this, and we're destroying ourselves, we're destroying our nation, and it's not just about America, we're talking about souls and eternity. So this is huge. It's a very big issue. But again, notice the positive results here of God allowing this chastisement to come upon the nation. It says they repented and they cried out to God. There's nothing like being under a nation blessed of God and suddenly coming under a nation cursed of God to show you the difference very clearly. And it tends to get people's attention. And that's God's design. He wants to get our attention to realize what he did for us and what we're simply letting slip away because of a lack of prayer and personal holiness in our own lives. The Lord wanted them to realize that, and the Lord wants us to realize the same thing for today. It's up to us, guys. We're the generation that God is calling on to repent and rise up. We've got to repent on an individual level. And I could go down this whole list of sins that we need to repent. You know whether or not you're doing things that are displeasing to the Lord. My challenge to you this morning is repent of it. Get your heart right with God. You're not trying to earn your way into heaven. You're already in heaven. You're a child of God. This is not for you. Those of you who know Christ, this is not a salvation issue. This is a holiness issue. This is a church that's clean for the Lord that he can use and pour his spirit out on in these days in which America so desperately needs us. I mean, we need Jesus, but Jesus lives through the church. And my fear is that much of the church, especially after some of these rulings and the pressure that comes from the world around us, I'm afraid that much of the church is not only going to lay down and play dead, but some of them are even going to go along with it. Guys, any dead fish can float downstream with all the other dead fish. It takes a live one, a Christian salmon, to go upstream. And so, notice this, they're under this wicked rulership. And it says, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel, who delivered them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. I love it. Notice the word here, when they cried out to God, God sent a deliverer. They said they'd been under this wicked leader for 8 years. Why did they just now cry out? And yet it was a nation that was blinded. It was a nation with their heart that was hard. And they were like, now, finally, we realize we didn't see how bad it was. Now we get it. Reality is sinking in, and they begin to cry out to God, and God said, all right, I'm going to raise up a godly Othniel for you. And guys, here's the encouragement I give for us today. If we will cry out to God, God will, can and will raise up godly Othniels to lead our nation. And boy, do we need them more than ever. It seems that we don't have very many courageous people for righteousness in America today. Men or women, we've got them. You're part of it. And we've got some in our leadership that are courageous men and women for the Lord and for righteousness, but we don't have many. And what America needs today is an Othniel. We need God to raise up a leader that will not be afraid of the pressure, that will not be afraid that people call him whatever name they want to call him because he honors God and honors God's word, but he'll stand with the Lord and honor God. And God will raise that Othniel up. And if God doesn't raise that Othniel up, I'm praying God will raise up a Deborah. Because we need somebody with some boldness and somebody with some guts to help us. And the bottom line, when men lay down and do nothing, then God will raise up women to be leaders as well. And women are leaders. Yes, they are. But as far as even national leaders, you saw with Deborah, we're going to get to her later. The men were doing nothing. And so God raised Deborah up and said, Deborah, now go and save the nation. And she did. And so God will do whatever he has to do to get a nation's attention. But oftentimes a nation is too asleep to let God do that. And so they finally cry out after all this time. But the good news is this, when they cried out, God sent them a deliverer and God sent them hope. And we need to be praying for God to raise up godly men and women in this nation who will be bold and not afraid to lead us back to not just the foundations of our nation and the foundations of the founding fathers, but simply leading us to God and his word, because that's what's right. And we need to be praying for that. But I do want to say this before I go on, because there may be some of you that are under personal oppression. I want to take this for a moment and make it personal. You can be a nation under oppression and God will wait. Notice God waited. God was ready to raise up Othniel at any moment. But God waited until his people repented and cried out. And as soon as his people repented and cried out, God raised Othniel up. And I think there's a very strong application to us as a nation in that as well. But there may be some of you this morning right now, you are living in oppression of the enemy. You have the weight of the enemy in your life. You're so entangled in sin and so wrapped up in all these things, and you're just weighed down and heavy. God, why won't you rescue me? He's waiting on you. You have to come to him and say, all right, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to confess my sin and I'm going to repent of my sin. And if you confess of your sin and you repent of your sin, God will raise you up and deliver you from the oppression that the enemy has in your life. And some of you need to hear that this morning, because you're allowing the enemy to keep you in a place that God doesn't want you to be. It certainly is where the enemy wants you to be, but not God. Now, notice the deliverer's name here again, Othniel. It's interesting what his name means. Othniel literally means lion of God. Isn't that great? Do we need a lion of God to lead our nation or what? God will raise up a lion of God for our nation, guys, if the church will repent. I'm convinced of it. I believe if the church of America repents and cries out to God, he will raise up a lion of God to be our leader. And he will raise up an Othniel. And I love this guy. He was the first judge of Israel. He was Caleb's younger brother. You remember Caleb. He'd already won a previous battle and defeated a city early on, showing his military prowess. But you remember who Caleb was. Remember the 12 spies that were sent into the land of Israel? 10 of them came back and said, there's giants in the land. We can't conquer it. Two of them came back, Joshua and Caleb. And they said, man, we can do this. Well, yes, they're giants. We admit that. But God is fighting them. We're not. So let's believe in God's word that God's giving us the land. Let's allow God to do the fighting and let's go in. And they went in, and God, again, would have given them the victory had they done it, but they didn't go in until later. This is now Caleb's younger brother, Othniel. And so it appears to run in the family. Even as Caleb was a lion of God, now we see that Othniel is a lion of God as well. And again, the kind of man that God will raise up if we will simply cry out to the Lord and ask him to do it. And some of you might be thinking, God couldn't really use me. I think God is looking for Othniels this morning. I really do. And you'll be thinking, well, God can't use me. I'm too young. Well, ask Jeremiah about that. Jeremiah said, Lord, I'm too young. You can't use me. God is still using Jeremiah today. His words still ring in the hearts of the church worldwide. He didn't just use Jeremiah in his day. He's using him now. Jeremiah was a voice for the nation. And yes, the nation did still come under judgment when Jeremiah rose up. But because of Jeremiah, his words were remembered and the nation was later restored. He was one of the prophets talking about the restoration of the nation. It was because of God, I know that. But he was one of them that talked about the restoration. His words were used in the conviction for that restoration. And God is still using Jeremiah today. So don't think you're too young to be used. God can and will use you if you make yourself available and have the right heart before God. Well, maybe some of you are thinking, yeah, but God couldn't use me because I'm a grandpa now or I'm a grandma, right? I'm too old to be used by the Lord. You know what's interesting about Othniel, this lion of God? It would appear because of the fact that Joshua had died and Caleb and all these guys had moved on and this was the next generation. It would appear that Othniel was probably grandpa age by now. And what's intriguing to me about that is that when God raised up a lion of God, a man to rescue the nation, God raised up a grandpa to do it. I love it. You might be thinking, I'm too old. My years are spent. I'm tired. I don't have the strength I used to have. Listen, if you can still get out of bed in the morning, God can use you for his kingdom and for his glory. And might I even add, if you can't get out of bed, I believe God can still use you as a powerful prayer warrior around the world. Tracy and I were talking about Billy Graham the other day and how God has used him. And I said, well, look at how God used him. And it hit me. You know what? God's still using him because I know Billy Graham well enough to know, and I don't know him personally, but I know his life and his character and his testimony well enough to know that when he's sitting in that chair or that bed, he is praying for the nation of America, and he's praying for lost souls in America and around the world because that's the kind of heart that he has and the kind of man that he is. So no matter where you are or your condition, God can and will use you, and God wants to use you as a lion of God for his glory. Guys, today we come to a very sober portion of Scripture. I'm stopping a little early on purpose because I want to pray as a body here for a few minutes for our nation. But before we do that, I just want to encourage you. If you've never prayed for our nation, you know you need to. You've never fasted for the nation, you know you need to. Do it now. Even if it's setting aside one day just to pray, one day maybe to fast, one day to cry out to God. Here's what I want to challenge us to do first as a church. Let's examine our hearts. Let's not be pointing at our leadership and blaming them. Let's look at ourselves. Let's look at our own sin. Let's confess our sin before God, and let's repent of our sin. And then when we repent of our sin, then we begin to ask God to send a conviction on the rest of the church and the rest of the nation and our leadership of their sin, and then ask God to raise up godly leadership and God to send us Othniels to lead our nation back in the right direction. God can and will do that, but we need to join together and ask God to do that.
Thank you for joining us today in this interesting passage of Judges. Here on Come to the Table, Pastor Mark Kirk is working his way through this Old Testament book. And there are lessons for us to learn from these people who lived during that time. Samson is one of the last judges mentioned in this book. And he had quite a tale. He was meant to live as a Nazarite, committing himself to the Lord and the Lord's things. But he had a straying eye that led him straight to all the wrong women. He was drawn toward Philistine women who tricked him more than once and ultimately led to his downfall. But did you know that God mentioned Samson in the book of Hebrews when he refers to many people who had great faith? When you think of the faith heroes of the Bible, Samson is probably not going to make your short list, right? But in God's eyes, he sees things differently. That should be an encouragement for you today, as you may not see yourself as anything, but God sees you differently and uniquely. He recognizes strengths in you that you may not even be able to observe from your perspective. Keep these things in mind today as you go about the day, whether you feel purposeful in what you're doing or if you're wondering what in the world God is doing. He's there with you, and he is for you, excited to see your faith lived out. That's all for today's teaching, but we invite you to go to thewaymedia.net, where you can be directed to our church's service times. Just click on the Calvary Knoxville link. Once more, our website is thewaymedia.net. We look forward to you joining us again for Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.